spoken word as on earth. This is just as if I were to say that the mind of the spirit gets into telepathic touch with the mind with which he is communicating. Question, one last question, the power, I notice, is failing. Where do you get your light from and when do you sleep? Answer, if we feel we want rest we can get subdued light, not so subdued as you understand it, but sufficient to enable us to rest. We have no night here as you would understand night. We get our light from the source of all light, but I cannot continue further tonight as the power has gone, so good night, and may the light that lightens all darkness lead you into the light you are so earnestly seeking. I expressed my gratitude for my unknown friend's kindness, and hoped that we might continue the talk on a future occasion. The gas was relit, and in about 5 minutes Sloane came out of trance, and asked if anyone had spoken. As usual, he was dazed, and lay down on the sofa for a few minutes while Miss Miller made him some tea, which quickly restored him. By the time we were ready to leave he was quite himself again, and said he felt no ill effects. I was privileged to have these private sittings from time to time during 1923 and 1924, but the foregoing record relating to conditions in the etheric world must suffice, as I should like to give a report of two other private sittings when my inquiries centered on the means they adopted to make their voices heard on Earth. What I have been told is summarized in previous chapters, but the phenomena are of such interest that I am sure the answers to my questions will be of interest to many. I think I was as much interested in hearing how communication was established, as I was about the conditions governing the other world. I am no more anxious to leave this earth than is any other healthy-minded person. What I was glad to know was that death did not close the book of my life, and that the brief span from the cradle to the grave did not constitute the sum total of an individual's existence. So long as we are limited to the physical to all healthy people must be the main thing. Those who know me will admit that this everyday world of ours occupies every minute of my time. I am no dreamer or mystic. I am not psychic, and my mind runs on practical everyday lines. Why, therefore, it may be asked, have I taken so much trouble to get into touch with another order of existence? The answer is that I have an inquiring mind. To most people, one seance with Sloane convinces them of the reality of the afterlife, and, unless they have recently departed relations with whom they wish to keep in touch, that satisfies them. I, however, felt differently. At the first seance I was not convinced, but I was sufficiently impressed to wish to inquire further as to the meaning of it all. I therefore returned on the first opportunity after my first experience, only to be more mystified than ever. However, I was not going to be beaten. If it were all one huge fraud I would find it out, if not, then I would have to recast my whole outlook on life and death. By taking elaborate precautions, and devising ingenious tests, I became convinced in time that the phenomena were genuine, but I was not convinced that the voices belonged to those who had passed through death. Only gradually did conviction come, and this was due to the knowledge the voices had of things which no one present could possibly have known, and only the one who claimed to own the voice could have known. The voice which claimed to be my father's, for instance, showed such knowledge of our family life, of our home and of my business, which was his before his death, that the only thing lacking was that I could not see him. If I could, there would have been nothing else necessary to complete conviction. We cannot call a person dead who returns to us in a body similar to the one we had on earth, and talks to us as he did when here in the body. Several independent people with clairvoyant power, who had never known or seen him on earth, described his appearance so accurately that at last I became convinced that I was in reality talking to my father, as, if it were not he, who was it? In earth life his physical appearance and personality represented to me my father. Here it was all repeated, and not with him only but with dozens of others whom I had known on earth. Further information I have obtained is to the effect that the real world contains seven spheres, besides the earth, interpenetrating each other. Each has a plane or a surface, 114. and an atmosphere which appears as sky to its inhabitants. Looking upwards, here on earth we are looking through these, and the same on each plane, they look through the ones above. The surface of each sphere is solid to its inhabitants. But, by thought, they can lower their vibrations and come through from plane to plane right back to earth. How few of us realize, when gazing towards the sky, that we are looking through planes of different density, which someday will be our home, and where those who once lived on earth are experiencing an active and useful existence. The next chapter will continue the records of my inquiry, an experience which I shall always look back upon as nights of instruction. Chapter 12 Nights of Instruction, Continued. How pure at heart and sound in head, with what divine affections bold should be the man whose thought would hold now as communion with the dead. Tennyson. These nights of instruction aroused in my mind the wish for more and more information. If there was such a world as they claimed to be living in, I wanted to know something about it. I had all the enthusiasm of an explorer on the frontier of an unexplored country. I wanted to know what it was like, what it felt like getting there and what I should do here to make my position as comfortable and happy as possible when I got there. After I got this information, my thirst for knowledge was not fully satisfied. I then wanted to know how it was they were able to speak, how etheric substance, which is intangible to us, could vibrate the atmosphere. I felt I was up against the most important scientific problem it had ever been the lot of man to fathom, and I was determined to get a thorough explanation of the subject while the opportunity for doing so occurred. I therefore made use of some of these private sittings for this purpose. The following, then, is a record of a sitting I had on 4th of January 1924, when Miss Miller, Sloane and myself were the only people in the 115. House. The door was locked by me, and the key remained in my pocket until the sitting concluded. No one could possibly be hidden in the room, as I always made sure of that. We took our seats, Sloane facing me, Miss Miller on my right, with her notebook and pencil, and after about 10 minutes Sloane began to twitch. The trance state then came quickly, and his usual control white a feather spoke. We talked to each other for a few minutes, and then I asked if conditions were good. Yes, white a feather replied. Very good, lady got great power and this helps us. Lots of people here tonight, the monkey man here too. This curious remark referred to the Aetherian who said he was known on earth as Professor Huxley, whose talks to me by the direct voice on evolution earned for him this title by that amusing, witty, but rather ignorant individual who goes by the name of White a Feather, and who, according to his own account, as I previously stated, was once a Red Indian chief. I want to hear how it is that they speak by the direct voice, Whitey, I said. Me can't tell you much, Findlay chief, the name he always called me. But Green Tree here tonight, he will tell you. I had spoken often before to Green Tree. He also claimed to have been an Indian chief on earth, but he was a very different type from White a Feather. He told me on one occasion that he had learned English after he had left the earth, because in etheric life he had been much in touch with English-speaking people. His English is good, not broken English like White a Feather's, who had picked up what he knew through controlling the medium. White a Feather's case is similar to others I have experienced, the control being quite ignorant of our language when first taking possession of the medium's body, and learning it gradually through hearing it spoken. Green Tree's superior mental and cultural development was always apparent, and White a Feather, while acknowledging his own inferiority, spoke of Green Tree at all times in terms of respect. He would say, when unable to answer a question, Green Tree will tell you, Findlay chief, if you ask him the next time he speaks. It may be asked why it is that American Indians sometimes act as controls of our mediums. I put the question 116. Once to Green Tree, and was told that this was because in earth life they were spiritualists, and were in constant touch with departed spirits. They had learned on earth the laws governing communication between the two worlds, and, when they themselves passed into the etheric world, it came more easily to them than to others to get into touch with earth again. Just as certain people on Earth are fitted by nature to act as mediums between this world and the next, so I have come to realize that some etheric people are likewise more adaptable than others for controlling a medium. We therefore find that all trance mediums have one or more regular controls, who speak more easily than others through the medium's own vocal organs. These are the mediums on the other side. Not everyone can communicate by controlling the medium, and this is done by those best fitted for the work, who pass messages, received by them from etheric people, onto Earth. Control of the medium may be more difficult than speaking by the direct voice, and I have found that most of my friends who spoke with their own voices, quite apart from the medium, became proficient after a little practice. The one advantage trance speaking has over the direct voice is that it can be sustained for a long time, sometimes for an hour or more, whereas by means of the direct voice long sustained speech is unusual. After a few minutes the voice trails away and becomes inaudible, and we have to wait, sometimes for 5 minutes, before it again gathers the power to speak. All the same, while the power lasts, the direct voice is much more effective and impressive, because, however short the conversation, a face-to-face talk is always to be preferred to one by means of a control. For instance, we would be more impressed if, let us say, a foreigner spoke for a few minutes to us in English, and then waited some time to think what next he would say, rather than express himself by means of an interpreter. By direct speech he conveys his thoughts to us in a way he cannot do if everything he says has to be passed through, and expressed by, a second person. Greentree is one of Sloane's regular controls, and he speaks through him with ease, but besides this he is very proficient in speaking by the direct voice. He is also one of the chief operators on the other side. It will be remembered that in 117. Chapter 6, when describing how the voice was produced, I stated that the greater part of the work done to obtain speech between the two worlds was carried through by those on the other side. Greentree is the director of the seance, both on his side and ours. He is in charge and directs those wishing to speak, explaining to them how this can be accomplished. He singles out those who are to speak, as, with the large number waiting an opportunity, direction is required. He controls both sides, and does not hesitate to tell us on this side, and sometimes pointedly, if we are not making the right conditions. He tells us when music is required, if we are too tense, and he reprimands someone for sitting with his legs crossed, a habit which is one of the first things a novice at a seance is told not to practice. The novice, thinking that no one will see him in the dark, sometimes disobeys this injunction, but forgets that the darkness is no darkness to them, and that they see clearly everything we do. A tap by the trumpet on the culprit's head, and a polite request not to cross his legs, invariably proves this. In fact, I have never known a mistake to be made. The usual inquiry as to how they knew gets a quick answer from Greentree, which makes the novice realize that normal conditions do not rule at a seance, and that intelligence is a present with powers beyond our own. Other instances have occurred, quite apart from the regular voice phenomena, to show that the Aetherians present can see in the dark. I shall mention a few. At the close of a sitting, just before the farewells are said, I have often held out my watch and asked the time, and on every occasion, when the lights have been turned on, I have found the reply to be correct almost to the minute, and this, be it remembered, is done in the dark and when no luminous watches are in use. This correct time-telling, moreover, occurs after a sitting of from 2 or 3 hours. Again, if I hold my finger in any direction, it will, on request, be gently touched with the trumpet, no fumbling, a clean gentle touch. Any part of the body, on request, will be cleanly and gently touched, either the right or left ear, the nose, or the right or left knee, an impossible thing, as I have proved, for any human being to do in the dark. This brings me to an incident which occurred, just after. Whitefeather had informed me that Greentree was waiting to speak. Miss Miller had put the light out, and I was holding Sloane's hands and controlling his feet. We had both been sitting a few minutes in the darkness waiting for Greentree's voice to speak, when Miss Miller said, My notebook is being moved about, and then, it has been taken away from me, followed by, my pencil has been taken out of my hand. Then the table, nearly 2 yards away from the medium, rocked up and down with considerable force. I replied, it cannot be either slow nor I doing it, as my feet are touching his and my hands have a grip of his hands, when a voice up near the ceiling spoke as follows, just something to make you understand that there are intelligences at work in this room tonight which can see you and the things in the room. What is the dark to you is not darkness to us. A materialized spirit hand is responsible for what has happened, but the lady need have no fear, we never would do anything to frighten or hurt anyone. After this the notebook and the pencil were returned to Miss Miller, the table stopped rocking, and Greenfee spoke, wishing us good evening and asked me what I wished to know. Question, how is it that you can speak to us on earth? Answer, by materializing my etheric mouth and tongue. Question, can you tell me something of the method by which this is done? Answer, I shall do my best to make you understand how this is done, but remember you cannot get a proper grasp of the difficulties we are faced with until you yourself come across to our side. However, I shall explain our methods as clearly as possible. From the medium, and those present, a chemist in the etheric world withdraws certain ingredients which for want of a better name is called ectoplasm. To this the chemist adds ingredients of his own making. When these are mixed together a substance is formed which enables the chemist to materialize his hands. He then, with his materialized hands, constructs a mask resembling the mouth and tongue. The spirit wishing to speak places his face into this mask and finds it clings to him, it gathers round his mouth, tongue and throat. At first, difficulty is experienced in moving this heavier material, but by practice this becomes easy. The etheric organs have once again become clothed in matter resembling physical matter, and, by the 119th passage of air through them, your atmosphere can be vibrated and you hear his voice. Question, but how do you get this air? Are the lungs also materialized? Answer, in a full materialization, yes. Question, I have often heard two, or sometimes three, voices speak at once. Are other masks used in these circumstances? Answer, yes, on these occasions conditions are good, and the chemist has sufficient ectoplasm to construct several masks, which are all sometimes used at the same time. That accounts for your hearing more than one voice speaking. Question, where is this mask placed? Answer, usually in the center of the circle. The chemist keeps as much ectoplasm as possible within the circle. But, when the quantity given off by the medium and sitters is small, it gathers about the floor, which accounts for voices coming from the floor when conditions are poor. On the other hand, when conditions are good and we have an ample supply, we can build right zip to the ceiling, which accounts for the voices on these occasions coming from high up in the room. Question, after the mask is completed, what do you do? Answer, the person wishing to speak takes up his position in the center of the circle, and presses into the ectoplasmic materialization and then commences to speak, moving his mouth and tongue just as you do when you speak. Question, what about the trumpet? Answer, this is used, not only to magnify the voice, but to enable it to be directed towards the person we wish to speak to. The trumpet is moved by materialized rods, and is controlled by one on this side whom we term the trumpet operator. His name is Galaker, and he will speak to you now. A new voice spoke, announcing himself as Galaker, the trumpet operator. Question, good evening, I take it that you are Irish. Answer, yes, sir, right first time. Question, well, my friend, I want to know all you can tell me about your work in helping those on your side to speak to us on earth. Answer, when a spirit wishes to speak to you he takes on earth conditions from your surroundings. We always know 120. When your meetings take place. Here Whitefeather broke in, it's me who knows, and I tell him and the others. It's me who knows when a meeting is to take place, it's me that remembers these things, it's written down, it's me that tells everyone, After this interruption, Galeka continued, "As I was saying, we always know when you are meeting. I am responsible for manipulating the trumpet. I have been standing beside you waiting to speak to you, and I am glad of the chance to tell you what I can." Question: so you are responsible for the megaphones or trumpets? Answer: yes, I deal with them entirely. When there is going to be a meeting, the chemist whom I work with generally lets me know when it is going to occur, and asks me to come along at the specified time. He supplies a substance, and also obtains a certain amount from TE medium and the other sitters. It is the combination of this spirit substance with ectoplasm, drawn from the sitters, which enables us to materialize. If there is enough, it allows the metallic instruments to go to all parts of the room, and voices to be produced. When I came tonight, I first looked to see where I could best gather the most ectoplasm. The chemist gets it from me and adds his ingredients, and it is then conveyed to the most suitable place. I also speak for those who cannot do so, and also for those who may be a long distance away. These latter send me their messages as you send messages by wireless. These are picked up by a receiver and given to me. I then pass them on, giving the person's name. I merely act as an exchange. Question: does that account for what is sometimes thought to be impersonation? Answer: I am the one who passes the message through, but you may sometimes think that I am not the right person speaking. I am the messenger to you from those who cannot speak. Question: I am glad of that explanation. Not that I have ever experienced impersonation, but it is interesting and helps me to understand your difficulties. Now, can you tell me anything more? Answer: when spirits come into the circle to speak, they actually, for the time being, partially materialize. Their mouth and tongue being coated by the substance we make, there is an excess between the medium's larynx and the 121. Materialized mouth and tongue of the spirit speaking, which enables the words the speaker forms to be heard by you. We then feel as we did when on earth. The organs of speech take on a thicker form, our tongue thickens, and so do all the other materialized organs. We cannot be heard by you until we again put on matter of slower vibration, and it is only when we find someone like the medium, who can supply us with this ectoplasm, which we fashion to our requirements, that we can again make you hear us. Ectoplasm alone, however, would be of no use without the chemical substance we supply from our side. It would not materialize without it. Question: what is this substance? Answer: the chemist is standing beside me, and tells me to say it is no use giving you its ingredients as they would mean nothing to you on earth. He says, however, that the finished product is a substance by which material things can be moved. Nothing can be moved without it. All physical bodies are composed of many different ingredients from which we draw the substance you call ectoplasm. Question: can you tell me anything more? Answer: I must go now, but before going I would like to tell you, sir, that I was brought up in the Roman Catholic faith, but I did not come over here as a Roman Catholic. Before coming here I gave up all creeds. I came here a free thinker, but I was wrong in not believing in survival. I came here minus my physical body. When I keep in touch with the earth plane, my surroundings are practically on a par with the physical world, but in the higher spheres we get away from earth conditions. Now I have for the time being taken on earth conditions, and I am part of your world. I will touch you. I felt a touch on my left arm, and I am conscious of that touch. Sloane's hands and feet were still controlled by me. If Miss Miller had touched me, she would have required to stop writing, get up and come over to me, but her pencil never ceased moving, and, when I told her immediately I was touched, she answered from her correct place in the room. Many of us here in our normal state often touch our friends on earth, and at first are much distressed that no notice is taken of us, forgetting that with our more refined bodies we cannot be seen or felt. I must go now, goodbye. Green Tree will speak to you again. Question: I once put my ear right up to the medium's 122 mouth when her voice was speaking, and heard a hissing sound. My father's voice was speaking at the far end of the circle to my brother, yet no words came from the medium's lips, only a soft hissing sound. At other times, when I have done the same thing when a voice was speaking, I have heard nothing. What was that hissing sound I heard? Answer: from the medium's mouth is projected a materialized ectoplasmic tube to carry the vibrations of his larynx to the spirit speaking. The medium's larynx is used to vibrate the atmosphere, the spirit's materialized mouth, throat and tongue to form the words. You were fortunate to hear this hissing. Your scientific men interested in the phenomena would have been glad to have had your experience, as it is something to give you a start in getting some real knowledge of how the voice is produced. Question: can you tell me something more about the mask which you enter when you speak? Answer: you can call it a mask or a dummy. We gather the ectoplasm from the sitters into what I might term an urn, not a physical urn. If you wait a moment, I shall try and show you it. Sloane's hands and feet were still controlled. I waited, and gradually there appeared high above his head a luminous object which assumed the shape of a large flower pot, and then faded away. Did you see it? Yes, I replied. Well, we gather the ectoplasm into this, and the chemist adds his ingredients. The finished product is matter slow enough in vibration to vibrate your atmosphere. The mask, until it is entered by the spirit wishing to speak, is incapable of speaking itself. The spirit has to tune down his organs of speech, and thus contact between these and the mask becomes established. When the magnetic or psychic power is strong enough, there is no difficulty in obtaining sufficient cohesion between the speaker's organs and the mask. When cohesion is established, the ectoplasmic material moves with the vocal organs of the spirit. It is exactly as if we coated our mouth and tongue with this material. It sticks to them and moves with them. Question: has this mask weight, would it affect a balance? Answer: yes, it has. The ectoplasm taken from the sitters has weight, and the sitter's weight is reduced in proportion to the amount that is withdrawn. If you were to sit on a weighing machine during the sitting, you would 123. Find your weight decrease. The ectoplasm is returned to the sitters at the end of the seance and they become normal. This has been proved correct by experiment. Question: when you control the medium and use his vocal organs, what really happens? This refers to trance utterances, not the direct voice. Answer: when the medium is controlled, and we wish to speak through his vocal organs, we get him into a passive condition. This is the condition he is in when in trance. His spirit has left his body for the time being, and is outside. When he is in this condition, we are able to work on his larynx and vocal cords, his tongue and throat muscles. We do not go inside him, however, but stand behind him. We are able to get ourselves into a condition, or in tune with the medium, to such an extent that when we move our voice organs, the mediums move likewise. There is a connecting link, etheric or psychic, whichever you like to call it, which has the same action on the medium's muscles as a tuning fork on another tuning fork if they are both tuned to the same pitch. Thus the two sets of vocal organs work in harmony. There is no question of the messages in any way being influenced by the medium's mind, as his mind does not come into the question at all. We do not work through his mind, but directly on his vocal organs. Everything that comes through is exactly as it originates in the mind of the controlling spirit. The medium's mind and brain are switched off for the time being, and the spirit operator controls the muscles of the medium's vocal organs. Question: the medium is still in trance. Where has his spirit been since we started? Answer: when the trance state comes on, it means that the medium's spirit has moved out of his body. His spirit is at present exactly on his right, not far from his body. Question: can you tell me more of your controlling the medium during trance? Answer: I take on earth conditions, slow down my vibrations and stand behind him. Ectoplasm is found everywhere in the human body. When I stand behind him, it is similar to standing behind the mask, only in this case it is the medium's own vocal organs which I move to form the words. They move in company with my organs, whereas when we speak directly, apart from the medium, we enter the mask and form the words by our own tongues which are temporarily materialized. 124. At this point in the proceedings, Sloane stood straight up, his arms outstretched, and I did so with him. Thus we stood facing each other.